you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Got lots of problems and a lot of decisions, but I'm feeling pretty good. That's important.
Well, that's the important thing, yes.
How you been getting along?
Pretty good, thank you. Thank you, sir. You had a nice holiday, I take it.
Well,
I know it was work.
I enjoyed my Christmas very much. Had my two daughters there, and rather quiet, and good weather, and things like that.
We were very pleased that the gift of your papers was a source of great satisfaction to us and pleasure on the part of our very close friends who saw the gifts. And even one man read part of the book.
Well,
yes.
They'll do better with the years because there were so few of them, and they represent at least the best we could do in 2 years. And I think there'll be some very interesting ones down through the years.
There's some remarkable papers there. I still talk about that speech at the University of Michigan. I think it was a very, very, very fine speech, the one on the Great Society.
Yeah. I've just been working on this budget. I'm real worried about it. I'm down now to the strategy question of do I get more by asking for more, or if I'm asking for moderate, I ask for less. Just exactly how I go about it, I'm going to shock them a good deal, I expect.
I saw the preliminary one this morning about $13.5 billion.
Well, it's going to be the defense. That was pretty well predicted last year. They say it wasn't, but it was. Russell got on CBS, and Stennis got on NBC, and the various committee chairmen, Jerry Ford, got on. They all said it'd be around $12 billion.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to be. What it is. It's about $4 billion money and about $8-9 billion obligations, contracting for ships,
sure,
and for planes that won't be delivered. But you have to, under the budget system,
sure,
you have to list them the year you acquire them.
Yeah.
That doesn't bother me, and that'll be voted unanimous practically. It won't be any problem. What does bother me is my budget last year was 99 plus, and this year it's going to be but close to 115,
yeah,
which is a whopping increase of 15-16 billion.
Yeah.
Now a good deal of that is Vietnam, but a good deal of it's Great Society too.
Yeah.
And I've got all these new programs to fund. Here's a sample of what I'm up against. We have a school bill for impacted areas, and that's been most of these southern areas where you have Richmond, Virginia, or something, where they are, Norfolk, Virginia, where they have a naval base, and you build up your troops so the families in there, and the widow and the mother and the two children there while her husband's off at sea. And that we give them between $300 and $400 million impacted area. It's a very popular program with the Congress. Well, that's fine, but I've got to get $1 billion for the elementary school bill.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to cut impacted area and still give the schools, the Norfolk schools, on the basis of $800 or $900 million more than I did this year. But it's going to raise hell by cutting the impacted area, and I just can't in good conscience give them both, because I don't have it. I'd get $120 billion for this.
Yes, that's right.
But the schools are actually going to get, say, four times as much as they got last year, schools per se.
Yes.
But the name, impacted area, it's kind of like a school lunch program. You might buy them steaks and better dinners and banquets and everything, but if you cut out that school lunch...
Yes, that's
another
right.
Thing, in order to get my poverty around like I want it, I'm having to cut some things. One thing I'm cutting is milk in school lunch program to children whose parents can afford to pay.
Yes. Well, this is also another one of those touchy areas where a name means something.
That's right. They don't, but we're not going to put a sign on them and say my daddy doesn't have enough to pay, we're going to take school districts where the upper echelon,
right.
And unless they in the rich areas, the Long Island areas, they're no use of just having a free lunch program, giving them milk to all the people there.
Yeah.
They can pay for their milk.
Yeah.
And we don't want a means test, but that'll save us a good deal of money, and it won't really be opposed by anybody except the milk producers. But I get all them mad.
Yeah.
On poverty, I've got lots of static building up there. Dirksen and Ford and McClellan, some of them, affect a little combination of them. And we've been getting some bad publicity, bad breaks on it around the country. And I'm going to give it some increase over last year, but I'm not going to give them anything like what they like to use. But I've drafted 500,000 of their boys, and I've spent $1.4 billion in Appalachia in contracts. And Wirtz is training 100,000 of them, and employment dropped again today, unemployment to 4.1,
yeah.
And we estimate it'll be 3 next year.
Okay.
So you can't go on if we're getting that kind of jobs, you see.
Yeah, that's right.
But I'm going to give them more than I gave them last year.
I noticed Dirksen and Ford built up a little flack there for you.
And McClellan.
Yes.
And Russell yesterday, they all going after the Great Society as soon as they hit town.
Yes.
And they're going to say that we got to fight a war, so we can't do any of these other things. My general position is going to be that we are rich enough and powerful enough that we can do both.
I'm glad to hear you say that. I thought that would be your position.
We're not going to reduce, yeah, really anything domestically this year, except something like the, as I told you, the impacted,
yeah,
school area. But when we came in, Kennedy Johnson, we had about $3 billion that was health, education, and welfare. This year, I've moved that up to $7 something.
Mm-hmm.
Next year, I'm moving it up to close to $11 billion.
Well, you see, on the overall picture, you aren't retreating an inch.
Oh, I'm going up, way the hell up.
Yes.
That's why my budget's going up to 114, 13, 14, 15, yes, somewhere there. But what they say I cut. Well, I got requests of $125 billion.
Yes.
And you get requests from every state, but you,
sure,
the request got to do it. The question is what I'm doing this year compared to last year.
That's right.
And I'm fighting a war and doing a hell of a lot more on all the fronts.
That's right. It's the difference in the base. It's whether you count what they asked for and that you were cut from, or whether what you count what you did last year is against what you're doing this year.
Now we got another problem. That's our HUD and Mr. Weaver and what we do over there. I've got a task force report, and it's a rather exceptional report. One thing it recommends is we take community action, put it in HUD, and I think that normally that would be reasonably good. The task force was all of them for doing that, except two. Kermit Gordon wasn't, and Whitney Young wasn't. But this fellow Robert Woods of Harvard, MIT, he headed it up. Do you know him?
I know of him.
He's an exceptionally able man.
I understand he's very able.
He's exceptionally able, and he's done an outstanding job. They all do it on the theory that the city is where our problem is, and we've got to have some muscle in the city cabinet agency, and that's where the community action is, and that's where it ought to be run. My theory, I think he makes a very convincing argument, but I can't quite buy it now purely on the basis of politics. I think if we spread it out among different cabinet offices where we don't have one salesman at the top of it, that we, A, don't get the image, and B, we knock it off, and C, they can defeat it easier and can kill it easier. I think in due time we might do that, but I'm a little afraid to do it now. I'm going to be a little bit different. Do you have any reaction on that?
My reaction has never been very strong on that, on the transfer of community action. That is from poverty program over to HUD.
That's right. What they do is really reorganize poverty out of existence.
Yeah.
You give work to the neighborhood youth corps and the job corps.
Yeah.
And you give Gardner the head start and the educational angles.
That head start thing, Mr. President, is a 10-strike.
Oh, it's one of
the...
It's the best thing we've got.
It is absolutely wonderful.
It is. It's no, I'm not entitled to credit for it, although I supported it, and Mayor Johnson has supported it, and we are very strong for it, and we're crazy about it.
This is Johnson's identification with it makes it a Johnson project, and it's just wonderful.
I'm going to try the best I can to start that this year abroad. In the African countries and Latin American countries and Asian countries, I'm going to hit them with three things, minor amount of money, but the principle, kind of like Roosevelt got REA started. He had to do it by executive order. He couldn't get a bill through, but he started off $25 million. I've got over $300 million in my budget for it now, but he got it started, so I'm going to try to take some of my aid money and start Head Start programs in these countries where the kids come in and get examined physically, and where we have a health program and they all inoculated for cholera and malaria and things of that kind. And I'm going to try to drive cholera out of 10 or 15 countries and malaria and things of that kind, and I'm going to have them read and write. And instead of all these PhDs coming to exchange on the Fulbright program, 50, 60 million, I'm going to let about 30 of it go for them, and I'm going to try to take 30, 40 and put in teaching kids read and write.
Wonderful.
And peasants and the poor.
Very good. But on the answer to your specific answer to your question, I hadn't given it much thought. It does seem to me that there's a good deal to be said for it being over there. Community action, city problems, urban problems, and muscle that you need there. I just haven't gone into all the ins and outs and buts about it. I'm sorry that I am not able to offer you anything more definite than that, but I can't see really any evil in transferring it, and I don't know that I see any particular evil in it staying where it is.
I think we'll just try to ride it out for a while, and
so I don't
let Shriver try to get it appropriations anyway, and then maybe we'll be strong enough, and maybe we'll clean up, but we're creating a little difficulties. Now we get on the Weaver thing.
You know about me. You know about. Let me say right at the outset, you have the right to select your own family, and you have the right to select the man that, in your estimation, you feel will do the best job. He's got to carry out your policies and your program. He's got to be close to you.
Let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
Don't you have the feeling, or do you? You don't need to say anything if you don't. Don't you have the feeling that this man would be loyal to me if I named him? Wouldn't he be, to his dying day, grateful that I made him the cabinet
officer? I think he would be very grateful. I'm pretty sure he would. I have no doubt about that. I do feel that. There's a lot to be said for what the reasons you advanced before, the business of driving and the difficulties of creating this thing. And I remember especially your long-range prediction that what'll it look a year from now?
That's what I'm worried about, but I'll tell you how I'm trying to give some thought to that. I've watched him very carefully, and I've given him every chance in the world to stump his toe, and he hadn't. He just functioned as perfectly as you would have. And I'm trying to think about, I had the best man I know in this department that's completely objective, that doesn't give a tinker's damn about Weaver or the Negro question, to go out and write me a summary of his views. And I just got them, that's why I called you. It's written at 4:15, January the 5th. And I read you this memorandum. I asked him today at lunch, when I was talking about HUD and various problems in it, who he thought I ought to make administrator. And I gave him the pros and the cons, and I told him that I thought that Weaver was not a very sensational fella, and not a very intellectual fella, and not a very driving fella, and not a fella that was imaginative and would be an innovator. And,